We've heard the song I Will Always Love You looped on the radio in commemoration of the beloved singer Whitney Houston. When the song is played, however, the royalty check does not go to Houston's estate, but rather to Dolly Parton, the song's composer. The reason behind this brings us to a complex area of copyright law, the music copyright. Copyrights for music are split into two: rights to the musical work and rights to a particular sound recording. The owner of the musical work is the composer, the person who wrote the song or the music. The owner of a sound recording is the performing artist who records a particular performance of the song or music. So for Whitney Houston, who performed songs written by others, she would only have rights to the sound recording. By comparison, an artist like Michael Jackson, who sometimes wrote and performed his songs, would have rights to the underlying musical work and to the sound recording. To add to this complexity, rights are broken into four different kinds: mechanical, performance, synchronization, and digital rights. Mechanical rights are rights to recordings that are played by machines, such as CDs and audio tapes. Performance rights are rights to perform the music publicly, either live or through a recording. Synchronization rights refer to the rights to use the music in synchronization with other media, for example, movie soundtracks or television commercials. Digital rights are similar to performance rights. However, they come into the picture when the performance is rendered through a digital audio transmission. At the outset, mechanical rights are owned entirely by the owner of the musical work. Once the music is recorded for public distribution, performers may record their own version of the music at a set royalty rate. This creates a sound recording, which the performing artist has the exclusive right to distribute. So, to make more copies of Whitney Houston CDs, the musical work's owner must be paid a statutory royalty. Then, the sale of the CDs will generate royalties for Houston's estate. Owners of a sound recording do not hold any non-digital performance rights. This means that royalties from Houston's songs being played on TV or radio will not go to her estate, rather they will go to the holder of the underlying musical work, such as the songwriter or composer. If Houston's songs are used in movies or advertising, her estate does not receive any royalties, as synchronization royalties are paid to the owner of the musical work. Even though Houston made the song famous, her estate is not entitled to compensation as long as another artist records the song. Digital performance rights are exclusively owned by the holder of the sound recording. These rights relate to both purely internet-transmitted performances as well as to webcasts of previously broadcasted performances. For example, if a radio station transmits its broadcast programming over the internet, it must pay royalties to the owner of the sound recording, the performing artist. Both composers and performing artists rarely own the exclusive rights to their respective copyrights. Composers usually assign their rights to publishing companies. The publishing companies promote the music and negotiate contracts, paying discounted royalties to the composer. A similar arrangement exists between performers and their record companies. So in the case of Houston's estate, the bulk of the copyright revenue from her recordings will go to the owners of the underlying musical work. Houston's estate stands to benefit the most instead from the intellectual property rights that famous people have in their image and likeness, such as life rights in books and movies. So even if the music of Whitney Houston may benefit others more than her, her story and her legend will belong to her. I'm Jay Kaysen.